I want you to turn with me this morning, if you would, to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I was just sitting there thinking, as she sang that wonderful song, about you and our church, all of us. I am so thankful today for our church. And let me say in the right vein and in the right way, I'm glad, I'm blessed, the privilege to be your pastor. I'm excited about what I know God wants to do in and through our church. He's not through with us yet. We have a great job to do. The fields are white unto harvest. And don't you think that in these days that we're living that God is depending on churches that are still doing the right thing, preaching the Word of God, winning souls, baptizing believers, don't you think He's depending on us?
Yes.
A man that's been called of God to preach today and he's still able to do it, he ought to thank God every day and the blessed privilege it is to stand every Lord's Day and preach what thus saith the Lord. Not necessarily what people want to hear, but what God says.
It's good, brother.
Now, I said that because we're right now in the, and by the way, let me just back up a moment. The testimony of your church goes around the world, people. You are aware of that, aren't you? I said around the world. We support almost 90 missionaries. 90. They're everywhere you can think about. The sun never sets on the ministry of your church.
It's good.
Never sets. Why? Because of you obeying God that we can support these missionaries. Let's dig in. Let's just determine that until the Lord does come, whether it's in our lifetime or not, that we're going to be faithful. God can depend on us that we're not going to dip our colors. We're not going to give in. We're not going to compromise. But we're going to keep on doing the right things to the glory of God.
Amen.
What about that?
Mm.
Now, it takes more than the preacher.
That's right.
All of us combined. All of us. This past week, if I might just share this with you, I took some preachers to lunch. I had two preachers and their wives, actually. The others weren't able to attend. But this young preacher, is the man that's going to take Brother John Burke's place whenever he steps aside. Pray for Brother John. He's having a knee replacement on the 2nd of next month. But thank God, I feel so relieved that there's going to be someone take his place when he steps aside. The man's there. He's already in place. We ordained him a couple, 3 weeks ago. He's a man for that church. I'm convinced of it. He said to me, now, this is to your, talking about you. He wasn't talking about me. He was talking about this church. I've known him since he's a little tyke, a little boy. Maybe not quite that long, but a long time. I know his mom and dad, they attend Brother Brown's church, First Century, there in Culpeper. And we were eating, and I don't know what prompted it or why, what he said, but he said, Pastor Williams, he said, for a long time, I've watched Trinity Baptist Church. Not here, but he knew about it. And he said, I want you to know that it's encouraged me. Now, here's someone that's not even a member of our church. I said, well, brother, we'll just give God the glory for that and just keep on going. He said, well, yeah. He said, but I just felt I needed to tell you that. I said, well, fine, great. So I'm excited. And I said all that in light of what we're going to... I'm going to read here from 2 Corinthians chapter 4, as I said. And we're going to read all 18 verses of the chapter. Mid-year of our missions, faith promise missions, our outreach, not only at home, but around the world. And I want to see God's hand stay on this church. I want to see Him use you and me for His glory. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry. Now, notice closely what he's telling us. As we have received mercy. Would you say amen right there?
Amen.
We've received mercy.
Yes, amen.
We faint not. See that? We faint not. But have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. In whom the god of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commandeth the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And notice verse 7. This is our key verse today. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels. Notice, treasure. That the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We're troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We're perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body of the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. Oh, get that, Christian.
Yes,
for we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. We having the same spirit of faith according as it is written, I believed and therefore I have spoken. We also believe and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, but though our outer man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Amen. Let's pray. Father in heaven, help us this morning. God, I need you. Have a lot to say in a short period of time to say it. Oh God, open our eyes and our hearts this morning. Holy Spirit, do your office work in every heart that hears this message and might on by recording down the road. Don't know. But anyway, God bless it. But in all of this, Lord, we don't want to overlook that person that may need Christ as our Savior. May today be that day. And certainly encourage and strengthen, Father, and just increase our burden, our vision for souls that are lost without Christ. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. As I said, verse 7 is our key verse. But we have this treasure, all that we've read there. As Paul was talking to the believers here at the church at Corinth. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels. Why? That the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Did you realize that every born again child of God is an earthen vessel in which there is a very valuable treasure? And every one of us, this treasure you and I have within our souls, every treasure we might refer to in the world pales when it comes to this treasure you and me have as believers. When you think of treasure, what comes to your mind? Money, of course. Jewels, stocks, bonds, CDs, etc., etc. I don't know if you have or not. I have, probably many of us have, but nevertheless, I had the privilege one time, a couple of times I think I've been to the Treasury Building. How many have been to the Treasury Building? And see these pallets loaded and moved around with a forklift of $100 bills. I remember this black gentleman was doing that, and he looked at that stack. He saw me staring at him, and he looked like he did that, did his thumbs up, the big old smile on his face. A lot of money there. Of course, you know, our nation's $19 trillion in debt. You know, you can print it on paper, but is it worth anything?
That's right.
Yeah. Anyway, that's not the point. Ever been to the Smithsonian and seen the Hope Diamond? Worth millions of dollars. I've been told that there are several Federal Reserve banks under the ground. There used to be one here in Culpeper. Federal Reserve banks. There are mines in Africa where they mine for gold and other, and of course diamonds, all those things. Some have treasures hid away. I'm talking to some. It's either in a vault. Where is yours, Emmer? Never mind, it's okay. It's either in a vault at home, or it's at the bank, or somewhere where only you know where it is. And when you go to the bank, it's in soft tones as you talk to the banker, if you want to see in your safe deposit box. But we got to, we guard the treasure. That means nothing compared to this treasure Paul's talking about.
Amen.
And it's possessed in earthen vessels, you and me. Okay? What is this treasure? Verse 6, let's read that again. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, notice what it says now, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of a knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. The presence of God Himself shining in an individual's heart. The reason Paul preached Christ is that God had shined in his heart. You remember that bright light that drove Paul to his knees? Gave his heart to Jesus. Got off his knees from that day forward. God commissioned him, sent him, served God to lead, had his head chopped off. God had actually entered his heart and converted him. Conversion is said to be such a dramatic experience that it's best illustrated as light breaking through and overcoming darkness. I know you have. We all have at one time or another. We walked in or opened door into a room that's pitch black. I tell you a good thing right here in our church is our men and ladies' rooms downstairs. There's no windows. You walk in there and let that door shut, I know something. If you don't know your way around, it's not good. It's black. But then when you turn the light on, there it is. I got to tell it again. You know what I'm going to tell, don't you, Paul? John Michael. John Michael, their little son, was just a little toddler. In other words, when he sat on a potty, you couldn't see his feet. Well, I went in there this particular day. When I came out, I turned the light off. It was on when I went in, but I wasn't thinking, and I just turned it off. You could have heard that little fella scream uptown the morning. You know why? It's black in there. It's dark. Remember the day you got saved?
Amen. Yeah, come on, brother. That's right.
You remember the day you
that's
got saved?
Right. Amen.
You were in total darkness, and God turned the light on, and you said, oh, my. It's called the new birth. It's called washed in the blood. It's called being born again. And when that happened in your life, God gave you a treasure that money cannot buy, and one that God wants you and me to share with others. We don't keep it ourselves. It's to be shared. No matter of fact, the more you share it, the more it means to you. Oh, my. In fact, creation is the only dramatic event strong enough to illustrate conversion. Conversion is so dramatic that it's like creating something new. Well, that's what the Bible says, a new creation. A new creature, a new man, a new woman, a new boy, a new girl. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. Galatians 6 and verse 15. And that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Ephesians 4 and verse 24. And about the believer, Paul goes on to say in Colossians 3:10, and have put on the new man. New man, people. New man. New woman. New person. New individual. Not the same. All things pass away. Behold, all things become new.
Yes.
Which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. And in John 3:19-21, and this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they're wrought in God. And then Paul says in Ephesians 5:8, listen to this, for ye were sometimes darkness. You know, the longer I live, the longer I serve the Lord, and more I learn and more I grow in the Lord, the more I realize how dark it was in my life before I got saved.
Yes, that's right, preacher.
Only God could deliver me from that.
Amen.
Only God can save souls.
Right.
And in Philippians, Paul said, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine, listen, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. You and me as God's children are lights. You see, conversion is wrought, is done by God alone. It is God himself who shines in our hearts and converts us. He's the only one. The precious Holy Spirit is the only one that can show you and me and help us to realize that we're lost, we're in darkness, and need to be converted. He's a wonderful light. But it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace. Notice, to reveal his son in me. Not the world, not Satan, but reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen. Immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. He just did what God asked him to do. Amen. Now, let me ask this question. What are these earthen vessels? I've already said it, but it's those who are the recipients of God's mercy. Absolutely. Verses 1 and 2. We won't read them again. Let's do it. Let's do verses 1 and 2 of our chapter, 4 of chapter 4 of 2 Corinthians. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty. Have you done that, Christian? Not walking in craftiness, not handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God.
That's good.
Amen. My, that's wonderful. Oh, it's wonderful. These vessels are just common old baked clay God saved. This emphasizes the fragile character of the messengers, frail, imperfect, lowly, weak, dying men. Isn't it amazing that God would choose to place this tremendous treasure in just common vessels?
Yes, it is.
Nothing special about them at all. Just common, everyday vessels. Who am I? Who am I? In 2 Timothy 2:20, but in a great house are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. 1 Corinthians 1:29 says that no flesh should glory in his presence. 1 Corinthians 1:31, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. So, why did God choose to place this precious treasure in unworthy vessels? Five things quickly, and I'm done. First, that the vessel may know its own essential weakness. Our service is Christ-directed, ladies and gentlemen. Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing, in John 15:5. Our strength is in Christ, as Paul says in Philippians 4 and verse 13. Our sufficiency is of God, as Paul says in 2 Corinthians 3:5. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. It's all God. Number two, that the vessel may be utilized unto honor. Now, isn't it sad? Sad commentary in our society in which we live today that the majority of bodies are everything but honor. I mean, the devil is destroying people's lives big time. And yet they think they're having a good time. Utilized unto honor. I've often thought about, you may have too, where I'd be or what I'd be, where or what I'd be if I'd never gotten saved. I'm almost convinced, Brother Tom, I probably did.
Yeah.
I'd probably be in a grave. Don't ever underestimate the power of Satan. And if you're going to do anything for God, let me say it, I don't know how many times I've said it, if you're going to do what God wants you to do, and you're going to be an earthen vessel of a precious treasure of telling others about Christ, you'll do it on purpose. You'll do it because you're determined you're going to do it. And then God will use you. Recognizing our essential weakness and that our sufficiency is of God, we're not to become careless with respect to the upkeep of this vessel. Now I could just park right there and can I preach? What did I just say? Upkeeping this vessel. Only got one pass.
Yes.
I got one life.
Yep.
I'll tell you something, you abuse this body and down the road, you're going to pay the price. You will. You will. Matter of fact, I think it's a wonderful thing that you, I mean, I'm talking about physically. After all, I think something where the Holy Spirit dwells, and it's a temple of God, we ought to keep it clean.
Amen.
Yes, amen.
Yeah. This morning, I splashed on some special aftershave that I have. I get real close to my wife when I use that because, man, she just loses it. If I called the name of it, I got your attention, didn't I? If I called the name of it, some of you'd say, yeah, he's an old man. It's called Old Spice. Yeah. My goodness. I think we ought to wash our old stinking feet every day, don't you?
Yes, sir.
I tell you what, I still think the Bible says men ought to look like men and ladies look like ladies.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen. 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 This is a precious vessel. This treasure is in earthen vessels. You getting it? You understanding what I'm saying? Yeah. Oh, yes. We're to be separated in our lives, folks. Paul says in 2 Timothy 2:21, if a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel, listen, unto honor, sanctified, and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. And then he says in 2 Corinthians 7:1, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit. Listen, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Let that verse work on you a while. Sit down and read that sometime. Just let it soak in. Perfecting holiness, the fear of God. You see, we're to be suitable in character. In character. We're to be schooled for service. How do you do that, preacher? Real simple. Go to church. Go to church.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Yeah. Suitable. Schooled. Prepared. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. All scripture is given of inspiration of God. And is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God, that word man there is used generically meaning male and female, that the man of God the Bible tells us, may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Thirdly, that vessel, that the vessel may be molded by the hand of God. God wants to mold us and make us in His image. I've told the story, but I got to tell it again. When I was in Alaska several years ago with Brother Stan Roach, I went there to preach his family camp that they had every year. They may steal, I'm not sure. And he had this man there, and he makes his living by making pottery. And so to illustrate what he was preaching that night, he had this little apparatus there, and he had a glob of something laying on it. And he flipped the switch, and his motor started, and it started turning. Now, when me and you got saved, the wheel started turning. This man put his hands on this. And he's mainly with his thumbs. Oh, I watched him so intently. And he started forming. This thing is turning, and he's forming. It's clay, and he's forming this. I didn't realize that much there, but he comes up, and he comes out like this. And comes in here, makes the neck of that, and then made the opening of that. Beautiful. Beautiful. And he stopped that thing, and he made some illustration. He took his hand and went, I said, oh man, I'd like to have that. And just shortly, he started it up, and he made that thing again. What was he telling us? God wants to mold and make you and me in His image, in His likeness. Why? Because we have a treasure in an earthen vessel.
It's good, brother.
When God's not molding and making you, you're trouble. You're letting someone else mold and make you. Oh, yes. So important. You see, the vessel is molded in the hand of the potter. And as a result, our human weakness is sustained by God's divine power. In second, here in verses 8 through 10, let's go back there to our text. And let's read those verses again. Notice what he says now. Verse 8, 2 Corinthians 4. We're troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We're perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bring about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. Now notice that last phrase, Christian. That the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. Underline it. You need that. You need to understand that. Oh, yes. And then number four, the vessel may be easily broken. As I just illustrated a moment ago. It says down in verse 16, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish. Oh my. You see, the vessel must be broken so the precious contents can be poured out. In Psalm 51, verse 17, every time you read that verse, a lot of us are familiar with that chapter because it's David's repentance. Verse 17, it says, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. God loves a broken spirit. A broken and contrite heart, O God, wilt thou not despise.
That's good.
Two more and we're done. Fifthly, that the glory of God may not be hindered. Now listen to what Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 24 about our flesh. He says, for all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. Oh. And then, through all of this, and all these things take place, and lastly, that the glory of God may best be displayed when this is true. Matthew 5:15. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Ephesians 1:2, that we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ. 2 Corinthians 3:18, that we all with open face beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord are changed into the same image from Amen. Glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Mm. What treasure we have in earthen vessels. Preacher, what in the world has that had to do with missions? Everything. Everything. I want us to share. I want to share this treasure I have with others. What about you?
Amen.
I believe our church should share what we know is right and the doctrine and the teachings we have. We know it's based on the Word of God. We ought to share with others around the world.
Amen.
Yeah. He said with you, you don't light a candle and put it under a bushel, but out where everybody can see it. We need to be busy sharing this wonderful treasure. To give light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the faiths of Jesus Christ. Sharing the gospel with those here at home and around the world. Yeah, that's what we need to do. Christian, think about what you've heard today, would you please? Not because I preached it, but because of what the Bible says. This treasure Paul is talking about here, verse 7. Look at it again, verse 7. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Treasure. Boy, you share this treasure with someone, they're lost without God. They don't know the Lord. And they trust Jesus as their Savior. This treasure is the only one. And accepting it, believing it, is the only thing that will get them to heaven.
Yeah, that's right.
There's nothing else in the world to get them to heaven. Nothing. 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 And then we're going to hoard. We're going to refuse to tell someone else. We're not going to be a part of everybody here. Everybody can't go to Korea or Japan or wherever. No one, and everybody can't do that, but they can sure make it possible so others can go. That's what our Faith Promise Missions is all about, is helping others to go. Let's bow our heads, please. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for this blessed and precious old book we have here called the Bible. And for the fact that it tells us what we have to do to be saved, know Christ as Savior. And then it tells us after we're saved what you want us to do. You tell us after we're saved that we have this treasure in our bodies, an earthen vessel. God, you want us to share it. You want to mold us and make us like that potter did to the clay. But you can break us. You know how to do that. Get our attention and realize that soon this life will be past. Only that which we do for Christ will last.
Yes.
Lord, please help us, I pray. God bless this invitation. Burden our hearts to spread the gospel even more effectively around the world. God, may we just be used of thee as you'd have us to be used. Their heads bowed, our eyes closed, and no one looking, no one leaving, just for a few moments. How many in this building today know that you are a vessel of treasure that God has given to you, his salvation? Would you lift your hand up? I know Christ, preacher. I know him. Take him down. Take him down. Was there anyone in this building that could not lift their hand? You could not. You don't know for sure, but I'm telling you that you can. If that be the case, would you now, with heads bowed, lift your hand, preacher? I couldn't lift it, but I know my need, and I'd like you to pray for me. See the hand. Anybody else? Anybody else? Don't you really want to be a vessel that God can use? A vessel that shares this treasure? Well, sure. Who? I can't imagine somebody not wanting to do that. I know that our intentions are good, but you know, as I said earlier, If we're going to do it, we're going to have to do it on purpose. We're going to have to say, yes, Lord, I'll be a part of that. I'll do it. I'll obey you. How many Christians in this building today? You lifted your hand that you're a child of God. That's wonderful. But if you need prayer in this area of your sharing and doing what God have you do so others can go, just, or maybe there's some other problem, some other sin in your life that you need prayer about, not necessarily the message I preach, but you need prayer, just lift your hand up where I can see it. All over the building. God, thank you, thank you, thank you. Amen, amen.
Goodbye to choir.
Yes, amen. Let's all stand together, please, prayerfully, quietly, with our heads bowed. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We praise you, Lord, for this time, this worship time together. Lord, thank you for your wonderful love and mercy. Thank you for giving your Son, the Lord Jesus, to die on the cross that we might have life and have it more abundantly and have this treasure in earthen vessels. Please, Lord, I pray you'll bless this invitation. I pray for these that lifted their hand. You know why. You know the need. May they respond to you in a positive way as the choir sings. In Christ's name I pray. Heads bowed, choir sing.
Take my life and live.